This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM. Thanks for staying with us. Now, having a quick look at the index and where it is, the KLCI has now switched from intraday decline to a very small intraday advance.
And the reverse in Singapore.
That's right. That's right. But year to date, we are still marking a 2.4% decline, outpaced only by gold's 3.4% decline. Healthcare related stocks and rubber glove related stocks like CarePlus, Adventa, Supermax, RubberX, Top Glove, HLT, Focus, and Comfort Glove really driving the reverse in terms of the index developments. Now, onto the car industry. We've had a roller coaster first quarter. The initial optimism and momentum from the 69,000 cars sold in December have since seen a bit of a reverse.
Yes, I think following that, January saw 33,000 units sold and February around 43,000 units only. And while March TIV was up 49% on month to 64,000 units, will that be momentum now be cut short by MCO 3.0?
Well, to find out and get an outlook on the automotive sector, we're talking now with Liao Tongzhang, the analyst with the Maybank Kim Eng Research. Tongzhang, March TIV saw a strong rebound, up 49% on the month. Was this solely due to pent-up demand from MCO 2.0, or were there other factors that drove this rebound?
Hi, good morning. You heard it rightly there. It's basically a pent-up demand, but also the fact that there are also two factors involved. If you were to recall, December was extremely good month for car sales 2020. Then come February, we had Chinese New Year, that means a shorter working period. So all these lead up to this poor January and February, but March was great.
So I mean, very volatile numbers, you're going up and down. Do you have actually any expectations of TIV in 2021?
Well, for 2021, we are looking at about 48 to 50,000 units of sales per month. That is about 580 to 600,000 units. But it all depends on developments going forward for the next 6 months.
So TJ, do you expect this latest lockdown to have a significant impact on the sector, both from a production and sales perspective?
Well, looking at MCO 3.0, looks like production will go on as usual, unlike what happened back in 2.0, where there's some confusions for the first few months. But having said that, I think MCO will always have an impact in terms of car sales on a daily basis.
But do you have a sense of how big that impact will be?
Well, put it this way, depends on how severe our MCO 3.0 will be and how long will it take. So it's very hard to basically point out the impact that we're probably going to get. Probably we'll see how it pans out by the end of the month, then probably can get a better assessment from there.
I see.
Well, in terms of one of the biggest drivers, TJ, was the sales and service tax exemption that's expiring at the end of June. Do you get the sense that the government might further extend this just to keep the sector alive?
Well, I do hope so, because we have seen that Malaysians tend to like cheaper prices. We had that with our GST back in 2018, and we have our SST last year. So I think having a SST exemption or extension beyond June, I think would be good for the auto sectors.
So who proportionally benefits more from the SST exemption? What marquees benefit more?
Well, if you were to look at the proportion of car sales in Malaysia, Proton and Perodua, they still dominate the market. They take up about more than 60% of car sales. Malaysians are price sensitive. They are very big in terms of Class A and Class B segments in terms of car sales. So I think these are the markets that Malaysians have a bigger proportion to in terms of car sales.
Yeah, TJ, do you think the manufacturers like Prodor and Proton, they didn't expect the 3.0 MCO to happen, because you've seen a deluge of new models? I mean, X50 has done really well for Proton. Prodor has just launched their Arrows, and I think the Tiva is doing really, really well as well. Do you think that they were taken by surprise?
Well, I think MCO development is basically unexpected. I think you can't practically plan it. But having new model rollouts are positive in terms of car sales. I think we have seen that. I mean, like rightly pointed out, Proton X50 sold very well. I think with Prodos Activa that was recently rolled out, I think the numbers were encouraging. And if you were to look at Activa sales alone in April, I think they make about 1/4 of Prodos sales.
Let's just change topics to semiconductors, because we know there's a current global supply shortage of chips, and we also saw Peridot saw its volume fall by 16.5% due to semiconductor shortage. Which other brands or auto manufacturers will be affected by this shortage of chips?
I think in general, all the automakers' production will be affected globally, notwithstanding Malaysia. But having said that, there are some pockets of positives that we have seen. We recently spoke to Berjaya, Burmas Auto, whereby they have the mouse of Mazda, Peugeot, as well as Kia. I think according to them, they have no issues with that in terms of chip shortage or in terms of CBU's availability. I think they have no issues in bringing those in. And for UMW, I would say, I think that chip shortage affects them marginally, in a sense that it only affects their CBU units. Most of their CKD products, I think they would have adequate components or parts components to basically make up the car.
Yeah, but conversely though, TJ Peridot saw volumes fall by 16.5% on the back of the shortage. Do you think this is a temporary blip or a cause for concern?
Well, it all depends. I think if we were to put it per se, we have to track development for the next 2 to 3 months. Probably be hard to pinpoint whether it's really an acute shortage problem alone on that.
Now, let's change to another manufacturer here in Malaysia, Proton. Now, they don't seem to have been affected by the supply chain issues. So they've actually posted marginal on-month growth in April. How much narrower will the gap be between Peridot and Proton become this year?
I think if you were to look at Proton has done very well ever since they had a strategic partnership with Geely. But having said that, in terms of car sales, for every one Proton car sold, there are 2 Peridot cars on the road. So the gap is still 2 to 1 for now. But having said that, I think Proton have been coming up with pretty good product pipelines. They had their X70, now they have your X50.
And TJ, can I just get your view a bit longer term? Because with Geely, of course, there's this promise of EV vehicles. When do you see EV vehicles making a mark or dent in Malaysia?
I think for EV vehicles to make its mark in Malaysia, first of all, we need a very clear-cut EV policy, which we are lacking now relative to our regional peers. So with a clear-cut EV policy, it brings in confidence, it sparks enthusiasm. It will also bring in infrastructure as well as investment opportunities.
Yeah, so TJ, lastly, right, what are your top buys and sells for the sector?
Well, we have buys for Berjaya, we have buys for MBM Resources, we have buys for UMW, and buys for Sundabi.
Okay, and which is the strongest buy of them all?
Well, looking at it, I think they have their own strengths in a way. We also, they have their growth path. We know that they have recently acquired the Kia franchise. I think this will basically give them that sort of longer-term growth. That will probably double up their earnings if they were to execute their Kia franchise well. Whereas for IBM, they have their exposure to Peridot, which is the best-selling car in Malaysia. They also have the dividend yield appeal, whereby you get a yield of about 6 to 7%.
Okay, well, TJ, thanks so much for your time. That was Liao Tongzhang, the analyst at Maybank Kim Eng Research. And there are still screaming buys in the sector.
So interesting. Demand driven by MCO impact, supply, semiconductor chip issues, but not everybody has that same issue. So I wonder, those who don't have those issues, will they be able to build market share, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether, he was quite non-committal about whether the government is going to extend this SST exemption. It's been a big thing, and I know a lot of people bought cars on the back of the fact that they don't have to pay tax, right?
Yeah.
But the corollary is that the government have to understand whether that exemption is going to give them the you know, the sales figure, which will mitigate the loss of income that they're going to get from this tax.
Correct. And I always wondered whether there would be a bias towards a certain brand or premium luxury brand with SST, because he did mention that SST, of course, will help those who are price sensitive, but already the price tag is very high for a car. I'm really not sure whether it moves the needle for the lower income households. So then does it shift certain market shares or demand specifically?
Exactly. Well, today is Monday, so that means Pressing Matters. And of course, Shazana Mokhtar talks to the podcast host, Norman Goh, after the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.